Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart, she's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to TPU Radio. I am your host, Jason Easley. And, you know, boy, do we have an exciting show for you tonight. For the first time ever, we're leaving the politics format, and we're talking about movies, new releases, what's coming soon, a few movie reviews, and a DVD pick of the week. So what more could you possibly want from such a great, esteemed group of guests and co-hosts tonight? First up, let me bring in my usual good friend and comrade, George.
Hello there.
Hi, George.
Hi, Jason.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Are you pumped up?
I am pumped up, as pumped as I can be, yes.
Oh, but that's pretty pumped.
It's pretty pumped, yes.
I mean, you know, we have Leonard Hayhurst back on the show. You know, and Leonard was such a great guest the first time, and he is our first ever returning guest, and that's enough excitement right there. I don't know how I'm going to contain myself for 30 minutes.
That's a lot to be pumped about.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the man who's after your job, Ryan Latimer, is also on the show tonight.
All right.
Oh, that was sarcastic. Speaking of Ryan, I believe this is him. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, it's my. I started calling you on my cell phone. That's probably why I didn't
know
the number, so...
Yeah, I didn't recognize the number. I thought that was you. Ryan, can you believe we have Leonard on the show? And please make it clear for the entire world that you want George's job.
I guess.
Wow, that's the kind of enthusiasm that gets a person hired. Now, both of you gentlemen, please welcome Leonard Hayhurst to the program. Hi,
I'm
Leonard.
I'm going to fire both of them.
That means they're both mine, then. You do realize that, right?
No,
you guys just went from bad to a whole lot worse if you become mine.
Yeah, they're not that huge of a loss.
God, Jason, the XFL does a better job of creating feuds.
You know why I don't want Leonard or George's job, right? Because I know I'm already better than them.
Oh.
You can't be better than Leonard. Leonard's a man among men.
That's right.
George, you might be better than George. George is an up-and-comer.
He's a blue chipper.
Yeah, George is the blue chipper. George is the movie zone future.
There you go.
I pray for the movie zone. Okay, guys, let's get into this. Hey, Leonard, how are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you are our first ever returning guest, which either means that you were the only person crazy enough ever to come back again.
Well, I feel honored by that.
Okay, guys, we're going to dive right in. I'm going to give you guys, you know more about movies coming up than I do, but here's the list of the big features coming out this weekend. Tell me what you want to see. If you had to go see something this weekend, would it be Evan Almighty, Black Sheep, 1408, A Mighty Heart, You Kill Me, Broken English, or September Dawn? We'll let Leonard go first.
Okay. Well,
how do the movies come out this weekend?
Of those, I would probably go see Evan Almighty. Love Stephen Carell. The previews look very funny. I think it's going to be a good, light comedy, which, of course, is perfect summer fare. And the rest of those seem a little heavier. So just based on that, I would probably take that.
Yeah, I think if Steve Carell can pull it up, can pull Evan Almighty into a big box office winner, he's legitimated himself as a movie star.
Well, he opened one.
Let's face it, the material behind Evan Almighty isn't the strongest, but if he pulls that movie to a huge opening and a sustained run, I mean, I think he's really legitimated himself.
Yeah, I mean, in Hollywood, it's all about who can open a movie. And he did that once with 40-Year-Old Virgin. So if he does that twice, then he's set. I mean,
and
you
40-Year-Old Virgin,
guys.
40-Year-Old Virgin was a strong film, though.
Yeah.
That was a pretty strong movie. A lesser actor might be able to pull that one through, too. This is a Steve Carell movie. He's got to carry this one. So
yeah.
Let's go to Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, out of those films listed opening this weekend, what do you want to see?
Hands down, 1408. Now,
oh, really?
Now,
okay.
Well, here's my reasoning. Now, number one, you know me. I mean, well, maybe I'm a big horror, thriller, suspense guy. And I also like John Cusack, but this should be really interesting. Now, they've screwed up a lot of Stephen King movies, but some of them are pretty good. Now, I don't mean this to trash Evan Almighty or anything, but and I'm sure I'll see it sooner or later, but the early buzz on that is not good at all. I mean, a little bit beyond just some stuck-up critics who don't like it. No, it's not getting very good buzz at all. So 1408, hands down.
Okay, George, what about you?
Out of all the ones that are listed there, I would say the one that I'm really looking forward to seeing is Black Sheep. Because
Good man.
Because that just sounds
like... Your job
like,
is safe, George.
Just like a full-on, just sick, twisted, Meet the Feebles-style film. And just by reading about it, I was just like, I have to see this just to prove that it exists.
Any movie about genetically modified sheep in New Zealand to become bloodthirsty animals...
I mean, come on, that's entertainment right there.
That is a winner right there. Let's see Steve Carell put some genetically altered bloodthirsty sheep on an ark.
Here's the thing with that in an evil hotel room. And you know,
then you got
I love Cusack, and I love it, and I love Steve Carell, but I just don't have the same sort of urges as Leonard and Ryan have, like to see those two films. I just don't, you know, like I wish I could feel it, but at the same time, it was just like when. I wasn't that big a fan of Bruce Almighty anyway, so I just don't feel like I'm going to be committed to going to see the sequel.
But I will say something in the defense of 1408. Samuel L. Jackson is like Jell-O.
Oh,
everything is always a little better with him.
That is true.
So that might. I mean, even Snakes on a Plane, man. Which I love that. I love that movie just for the only reason of they only promised us Snakes on a Plane, and that's exactly what we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, that worked out well for the whole site. You know?
Yeah, 4-1 got a lot of mileage out of Snakes on a Plane.
There were 37 different reviews of that movie. I mean, it was fantastic, and it was great to hear. Like, I mean,
we had more reviews of Snakes on a Plane than any other film. I think George was right. There were 7 reviews of that we had on 4-1-1.
Yeah,
I think I'm the only guy.
It's gotten a little preposterous after a while. I mean. But, like, review 5, what was there up to say?
Well, the funny thing was that everybody did bring something new to the review. Everybody was coming out with something, some new way, no, new spin on what to say about it.
Okay, guys, we're going to move to June 29th because there's a couple movies here that I think are worth talking about. Ratatouille, which has to be the worst movie title in recent memory. It sounds like a noise a 3-pack-a-day smoker makes when they wake up. Live Free or Die Hard, Sicko, Evening, and Death at a Funeral are the biggies on the following week. So, George, out of the list I just gave you there, what would you go to the theater to see?
There are two of them there. There's Live Free or Die Hard. Despite the PG-13 rating, I still think it's going to be fun enough to be at least in the spirit of the third film. And the other one would be Death at a Funeral. It just sounds like a real
black
comedy, and I'm all for that.
You're going to skip the Michael Moore movie?
What's that?
Start on Michael Moore.
No, I'm actually interested in Sicko as well. But at the same time, though, you know, like I don't see that going to that for like the first week, but definitely I do plan on seeing that.
Yeah. Okay. Leonard, we'll bounce to you.
Yeah. Well, my niece will make me go see Ratatouille. So that will probably be the one out of those I will see because of her. I'm always intrigued by Michael Moore films, but you always got to take him with a grain of salt. But from what I've heard of Sicko, it comes down. Probably a little more even or a little more not as manipulated as some of his other films. That's the only buzz I've heard.
Ryan, we'll skip over to Ryan. Ryan?
Live Free or Die Hard. I was on the same thing George was saying about the R rating. You know what? We have 3 Die Hard films that were R, and R rating itself doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bad. So, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. I like Die Hard films. I really want to see that. Other than that, I mean, I think you guys know me. I'd rather stab my eyes out than watch a Michael Moore film. But, yeah. but
yeah, tell us how you really feel, Ryan.
I think if Michael Moore tunes it back about 12 notches and comes back to maybe bowling for Columbine range instead of Fahrenheit 9/11 range.
No, he needs to go back to Roger and me range.
Oh, well, that's never going to happen. He's a big
he needs to go all the way back there.
Yeah, he needs to really take himself out of these movies and make it
all
about Terrence's perspective.
It's all about him.
You know?
It's not about the movie. It's all about
yeah.
him.
Yeah, if he would actually make a movie from a documentarian's perspective, that's what I would like to see, instead of these one-man vehicles that he's developing into. It doesn't mean they're bad. In fact, they're very entertaining movies. Just don't rely on them as your only source of information on an issue. They tell only one side of the story, and it's a very, very narrow side. So basically, guys, we've had a lot of movies come out this summer. I know what Ryan and Leonard have seen most recently. So, George, what's the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw. That's really a tough one. Actually, it's not. The last one I saw was Knocked Up. And I was very pleased with that.
Okay.
I came out very satisfied.
Now, am I correct, Leonard and Ryan, that you both have seen the new Fantastic Four movie?
I did, yep.
Yes.
Okay, I want to know each of you thought of that movie. Number one movie in the country, give us your mini review. Anybody can start.
Okay.
Brian can go.
Okay, whatever. Honestly, I love both the first one, the second one. A lot of people want to crucify me for that. Like they say, it's some of the dumbest films ever, the worst superhero films ever. You know what? Some people forget why you go to the theater, and sometimes it's just to have fun. And those films are just fun. You know, they got snappy dialogue. I mean, well, not snappy. They're just funny one-liners, just a bunch of people beating other superheroes and supervillains up. You know, they do it right. And, I paid $8. I got my $8 worth. I loved it, and I think it's a great family superhero film.
Leonard.
I only paid $4. I agree with a lot about them. I agree with a lot of what Ryan said, even though I didn't quite particularly care for the first one, but I like this one a lot better. But again, I saw this in the theater. I saw the first one on DVD, so it could be that theater experience, I think, really ups it a notch. And this summer, you've had a lot of event pictures like Spider-Man 3 and Pirates of the Caribbean 3 that people said were overlong, a little too full of themselves, a little too self-important for the genre. And Fantastic Four, it was a brisk, well-paced hour and a half. It was fun. There was a lot of humor. It didn't take itself too seriously. The only thing I didn't really care for, I didn't care for some of the actors' performances. But I think that because the script wasn't strong. But just as a fun popcorn film, it was good. I had fun watching it.
Who didn't you like?
Specifically, I didn't like Alba, Grufford, or McMahon. And I really like Julian McMahon. And he, you know, has played a complex over-the-top villain before on Charmed and really carried that show for several seasons. And but I think that, the script is weak. He didn't have anything to do with. Dr. Doom was basically a MacGuffin in this film. He just served to push the plot in a couple directions and didn't have much else to do, and I think that defeated him.
So, as far as I'm concerned, superhero movies, the Fantastic Four are not the worst set of superhero movies or comic book movies. The worst comic book movie ever is Daredevil.
I would agree with that.
I would
wholeheartedly, and mainly for me, because the director's cut redeemed it for me.
I saw that movie at the drive-in, at the back end of a double feature. It only cost me $2.50. And usually my standard in taste, if I pay $2.50, is pretty low. You can show me about anything for $2.50, and I'll be like, well, that was okay. But you guys
this
was
Howard the Duck.
Okay.
No, if Batman and Robin paid me $2.50
per half
hour.
I'm sorry. I forgot the movie that killed the Batman.
Come on.
Oh.
Like, that... I mean, thank God that Men in Black came out the same year, or else the comic book genre would be dead to rights.
Batman and Robin. I don't even consider Batman and Robin a superhero comic book style movie, though. It is just such a bad film. It almost has a category by itself.
Yeah, Ruby Rose, 15, and when I was 15, I thought it was bad. That's bad.
if we can count TV movies, I saw Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Fox, and that's got to be the word. Hasselhoff
wow.
as Nick Fury.
Oh.
That has to be the worst comic book movie I've seen. And I've seen the original Captain America TV movies as well.
Oh, that was
the
bad.
The 89
that
movie.
That was really bad.
With the rubber ears.
That movie made the greatest American hero look like a classic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I like how Captain America had a motorcycle and the shield was the windshield of the motorcycle and he just took it off.
That's how
I think Ryan's the youngest of the bunch, so he has no idea that we grew up in an era where there weren't DVD players. Ryan, Leonard and George sort of got off on a tangent. Do you agree with what they're saying here?
Oh, sure, yeah. And by the way, there's always been DVD players. What are you talking about?
I'm sure Leonard and Jason and I, like, we grew up in the days when HBO stood for Hey Beastmasters On. You know, like, that was...
Dude, I grew up in an age when The Wiz was on HBO 36 times a week. I have seen The Wiz more times than I've seen The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
I really thought Dorothy was black when I was like 26.
I remember when you had the cable boxes where you had to walk to the TV and push the button.
Oh man, that's
the good old days.
To get the channel, you didn't have a remote for it.
Or the remote
nowadays,
you had it
nowadays,
had a wire attached to it.
the wires are right. Nowadays, that would kind of cardio for people if they get up to the TV. Okay, we're getting way off track because now Ryan's all caught up in this wired remote thing and, like, totally throw him. So we better move on a little bit. You know, out of the summer blockbusters, I don't know how many of them you have seen. Has there been any really big disappointments?
Yes.
And I'm going to give it to George.
Spider-Man 3.
I knew that was coming. That was just a gift right there.
Spider-Man
3. Thank you.
And the thing about it is there was a lot of good in it, but it just, as soon as they got to the second half, it just became a mess. It was just like
okay,
it wound up being all over the place.
Ryan,
definitely a toss-up between Spider-Man 3 and Pirates 3. Spider-Man 3 just had, they wanted to add, you know, like, there's three villains and like 18 different plot lines all going at once. I had a headache trying to watch this darn thing. It was so much in there, even for like, how much was it, 2.5 hours? I just felt overly long. I was tired of the franchise anyway by that point, so that didn't help. And then Pirates 3, it was just so convoluted. And you know what, I'm not that hard. I may sometimes challenge it, but I'm not that hard to please. But Pirates 3 was confusing. And it's a pirate film. Try to figure that one out. So that's my, you know.
Now, okay, Leonard.
Yeah, well, I'm a wait for the DVD kind of guy, so I haven't really seen a lot this summer. But from everything I've heard, Pirates 3 and Spider-Man 3 were the ones that disappointed people. And it's like what I said earlier, you know, I think they tried to do too much and be too much.
All I will say is somewhere inside Spider-Man 3, there's a good movie screaming to get out.
Yeah.
There's a good movie in there somewhere.
They just didn't
release it. Yeah, that's the problem. It's just too much of too many things. But Spider-Man 3 made the classic Batman mistake. Add too many villains and have too much stuff going on.
Yeah, it basically made the Batman Forever mistake. You just had them feeling like if they continue to go down, first of all, they used up all, like, basically, like, all the good villains.
Craven the Hunter's
like,
out there.
What's that?
Craven the Hunter.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
He's one of my
Craven.
Favorites.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, you know, like, they had a fourth one all set to go, practically, with Venom, and they blew it all. They basically condensed it all into 1.5 hour and stuck it at the end. And that, to me, was, like, the biggest disappointment.
Also,
let's please not put Spider-Man 3 in the Benny Batman Forever category.
Yeah, it's not quite.
I don't think it deserves that. Because let's face it.
Oh, I didn't call it Batman
bad.
And Robin. Because I always consider
Batman
Forever
Robin.
Entertaining.
Oh, okay, Batman and Robin. Wow, it was a terrible one. At one point, I saw them all, but at one point, it was so bad that they all kind of blended together for me after, like, the second one. It suddenly sort of scarred me, so like they're all just one jumbled movie now. But now the whole I just think that the Spider-Man franchise, you could do a fourth movie, but it's got to be the straight like Sandman movie or the straight Venom movie. They basically need to forget about the back half of Spider-Man 3 and just go forward from there. Now, okay, guys, is there anything out there that I haven't mentioned so far that you're looking forward to seeing?
Transformers.
I want to see Ocean's 13. I almost saw that the other night, but Fantastic Four is playing first, so that's the theater I walk into.
Nothing like making decisions based on convenience.
Yeah.
No one wants to see Transformers?
Now, I'm definitely going to see Transformers.
Of course, man.
George already has his tickets. You can.
I'm surprised George isn't standing in line right now to get his tickets.
Calling from a cell phone, going, I'm first in line.
Hey, what you want about Michael Bay? He's very hit and miss, but when he's on, he can deliver. You know,
I think the Transformers movie will be great if it has Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas. Wait a minute. You mean robots? Whoa. What's that got to do with Miami? I was never a big Transformers person. I'm a little older than George is. I kind of wasn't. I was Star Wars action figures, not Transformers. But it looks kind of cool, I got to admit. I mean, the whole way they're setting it up looks kind of cool. Like, it comes a long way from, let's say, what it could have been if they would have done a film, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. It might be cool, George is going to love it no matter what happens, unless, like, the Transformers start making out. There's some sort of gay marriage sub-storyline in the Transformers movie.
Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Right now. I can still make it right now.
Okay, guys, I have a question for you. Our show's winding down. I did want to save this kind of for last. And you guys didn't know this one was coming. And Leonard always has to think about these. So we're going to go George, Ryan, then Leonard.
Oh, boy.
What is the most overrated movie of all time?
Overrated?
Yes.
Crap.
I never saw that one.
Damn it all. You had to go to me first, didn't you?
I'll go first.
You're the regular on the show. You're used to this by now, I assumed.
Yeah, I know my answer already.
Alright.
Okay, whoever's got their answer,
I'll defer to Ryan.
Speak up and give George time to think. Okay.
Yeah, some of you guys are going to be mad. Star Wars.
The first Star Wars?
No, just Star Wars in general. Anything Star Wars. Overrated.
Wow.
I can't stand Star Wars. There, that's my answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Now, if you would have said the last three, four, like one, two, and three, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with you. But everybody knows they suck.
Okay, well, pick one.
Just pick one?
If it's a Star Wars film, it's overrated. That's my answer.
I don't know, man. You can't overrate the first one or Empire Strikes Back.
Okay,
Return of the Jedi is a highly overrated film. Of course, I hate Ewoks.
Yeah.
So. Okay, Leonard, do you have an answer? I think Leonard just had a heart attack trying to think of the most original of all time. It was how he was thinking through every movie he's ever seen, and he just went into a catatonic state. Leonard.
Come on, you can't say anything more offensive than my answer.
Oh, wow. Let me see if we still have Leonard here. Leonard. Okay. Leonard.
Yes.
Somehow you got muted.
Yeah, well, I got disconnected. Yes, I got disconnected.
Okay, then you came back and I didn't hear you. I didn't see you on. Okay, Leonard, yeah, we're looking for an answer and you're like all quiet and I'm like, oh my God, Leonard died. So it's so terrible.
I'll take his job.
I was in deep contemplation.
The most overrated movie of all time, Leonard.
I will say The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Ooh.
Because I like the first two a lot better. I think they're more straightforward films. And with that one, that's when Sergio Leone started getting too overdramatic and too full of himself. And you see that in his later films, like Once Upon a Time in the Old West. And that's usually the one when you ask him, oh, spaghetti western, Clint Eastwood western, whatever. That's the one that people go to.
I think... For A Fistful of Dollars or For a Few Dollars More, both smoother movies.
Oh,
if I
think
I
got one.
And show somebody a spaghetti western, I would show them those two first. For, and also because Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is like three hours long or 3.5 hours long. Yeah. It meanders. George, do you finally have an answer? Leonard had time. You thought so long. Leonard had time to hang up, go get a snack, peruse the encyclopedia of every movie ever made, and come back with an answer.
Yes.
What's your answer, George?
My answer, since you guys had mentioned Clint Eastwood, I'll say Mystic River.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because
I really like that movie.
That movie did not do it for me. It just flat out did not do it for me. I wanted to like it. I was ready to like it. I was so sucked into really liking it and everything, and it just bored the hell out of me.
Would Mystic River have been better?
What's
if
that?
It would have been played with, would Mystic River have been better if it had been played by Transformers?
How did I guess that was coming? And your answer is yes, it would have been. No, it wouldn't
you,
have been. No.
For you?
I personally thought that, you know, that Sean Penn did not deserve the Best Actor Oscar that year. I thought that he overacted way too much. I was, you know, like, I was in the Bill Murray camp. I was all set for him for Lost in Translation.
Okay, that brings up an interesting question. When is the last time Sean Penn hasn't overacted?
Yeah, isn't he like just the, you know,
probably in the whole Katrina appearances, I think.
Well, no, I mean like movie-wise. What was his last starring role where he didn't just chew scenery?
I didn't see The Interpreter. Does that count? Did he overact there?
What's that?
What about Fast Times?
Well, wow, you're going back to the beginning.
Yeah,
I
would say so. I say Fast Times.
He's been progressively going to the Al Pacino School of Fine Acting.
How about Shanghai Surprise?
Wow.
No, now you're just showing off and pulling out movies from anywhere in the Sean Penn catalog.
Falcon
and the Snowman.
I'm surprised no one, for the answer about overrated movies, I'm surprised no one said Crash. Considering all the crap it got when it first won the Oscar.
I have to say I've never seen it yet. I still haven't seen it.
I like
it. I'm in the same camp. It's down on my Netflix list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
working
its
way up.
I keep pushing it lower and lower and lower, quite honestly. Something else comes out and I bump it down.
But you guys remember all the controversy when it won the best movie and everyone was apparently rallying for Brokeback Mountain and it didn't win?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was, when it got to... I still remember when Nicholson's, like, eyebrows went up, and he read it. It was just like, Crash.
I never understood.
Okay, guys.
Good.
2 minutes left. 2 minutes left in the show. Leonard has something important to promote. Leonard, tell us about what you got coming up.
Yes, this weekend I will be at the Monster Bash Classic Horror Film Convention at the Four Point Sheraton outside the Pittsburgh Airport, and Chad Webb from 411 is coming in. For the weekend, too.
There's a ticket booster right there.
Yeah. And Friday night, about 1 a.m., I will be hosting Plan 9 from Outer Space with Conrad Brooks, who is in the movie.
Damn, I wish I could be there for that.
Oh, okay.
And Elvira is going to be there Saturday. Let me mention that, too.
Okay, guys, what else do you have to do at 1 o'clock in the morning? Go there. Where is it again? How can people get tickets?
Yeah, it's at the Four Point Sheraton outside the Pittsburgh Airport. If you go online, go to creepyclassics.com, there's a link for the Monster Bash. It'll tell you how to get there. Tickets are, I think, only $15 at the door, and that's like for all day. There's dealers, there's guests, there's movies playing, special talks, special features, all kinds of cool stuff.
And you will personally sign autographs if asked.
I will personally sign autographs. I will even hang out with you in the bar if you buy me drinks.
Okay. You know what? It just sounds like a fun evening for anybody that's in the area. I know where the Sheraton there is, by the way. So it's easy to get to. It won't be a problem getting there. Tickets are cheap. Go and see Leonard. Okay, everybody. That's a wrap just about for this week's show. For Ryan, who wants George's job. For George, who wants to keep his job. For Leonard, the ultimate guest, and myself, I'm Jason Easley. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Sunday evening to talk more politics. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Good night. Thanks again.